It is remarkable that the day after Christmas we should be celebrating the feast of a martyr. The custom goes back to the very early church. It seems that, in her wisdom, the church wanted to make sure that we associated Christ with martyrdom. There are many lessons about today's feast. If yesterday's was called Christmas, today's has been called Stephenmas. But there are especially four lessons. The lesson of love, the lesson of hatred, the lesson of conversion, and of forgiveness of one's enemies. Stephen teaches us in a remarkable way how early the early Christians loved Christ with all their hearts, even to wanting to die for him. No religious leader of history, no Buddha or Mohammed, inspired the kind of deathless love that Jesus inspired from the very beginning. And what is most remarkable about Stephen's love for Jesus is the fact that from all evidence we have, he had never met the Master. This was all the fruit of that Holy Spirit promised by the Savior once he, the Savior, had gone to his Father. The assurance, therefore, that we too can love Christ deeply, can love him even to dying for him, even though we have never seen him in the flesh. Because, you see, the love of Christ is a love of the Spirit. Sure, our body loves, but then it's only an overflow of the deep down invisible power of affection possessed by the Spirit of man. How we need to know and how we need to teach others that love is interior. Love is not of flesh or blood, though flesh and blood will be involved. Indeed, flesh and blood were involved. But love is within. Stephen loved Jesus, and he showed his love by dying for him. That's the first lesson of Stephenness. The second is hatred. Isn't it almost past belief that once the enemies of the Savior had wreaked their hatred of him personally, once they had condemned him to death, and watched him, jeeringly, expire on the cross, you would think that their strange appetite would have been satisfied. But no. What the enemies of Christ hated was the Spirit of Christ. Whether that Spirit of Christ was in him personally or in his followers. Christ was hated, and the hatred cost his death and his followers are hated, and the world would do his followers. Let me change the verb. The verb, the world does do his followers to death. We need to remind ourselves that almost one half of the human race today he is living in virtual slavery. Several hundred million Christians are enslaved by the communist enemies of Christ. So it was, and so it is. And what we need to remind ourselves is that it's not strange. Strange. It couldn't have come sooner. What is perhaps strange, though, is that the first martyr was not one of the apostles, but one who, as we said earlier, apparently had never met Jesus. But anyone who seriously tries to follow in the footsteps of the Master, as Christ foretold, will have to pay in his or her measure the price that Christ paid, of being rejected, of not being accepted, of being opposed. And as far as the world can, with its wealth and power, of being crushed for no other reason than that we are trying to follow Jesus. No mountain canyon can protect us from this kind of opposition. Because the worst kind of persecution of the church today, though it involves also imprisonment and even death, well, the worst kind of persecution is persecution of the mind. Ideas, virulent ideas, assaulting ideas, are being spread broadcast through the media of communications and have deeply penetrated, how well I know, into episcopal residences, priests' rectories, monasteries and convents, throughout the Catholic world. And would to God those ideas had always been rejected. That's the second lesson of Stephen. that even as the physical Christ died on the cross, so he is mystical Christ in his members from the beginning, even now and until the end of time, will be opposed. The third lesson is the lesson of the miraculous conversion of Saul. It is not as a trivial aside that Saint Luke, the disciple of Saint Paul, and we may be sure that Paul told him, "Now, Luke, remember I was there. I was there when they stoned Stephen, put it down. I consented." So Luke did. And then when Stephen prayed for those who were stoning him, he was praying with emphasis for Saul. Let us never underestimate the power of sacrificial prayer. It is as though for all times, as though it is that for all times. We might be told in the most emphatic way how pleased God is with our prayer joined to suffering, or our suffering joined to prayer. How powerful that combination is to convert sinners. I can just imagine the conversation Paul and Stephen are having in heaven today. No doubt, Paul thanking Stephen, and Stephen telling Paul, "Don't mention it." How powerful we are in converting a very, very sinful world, provided we have learned the mystery of sacrificial prayer. We do the suffering, we do the praying, God does the rest. Finally, in imitation of the Savior, even as Stephen was being stoned and still able to speak, forgave those who were killing him, so we, and that's the lesson we are to learn, are especially, this is a hard adverb, believe me, we are especially to pray for those who have done us wrong, or who are doing us wrong, whether that wrong is real or whether it's mainly our own imagination. As far as we are concerned, they are, in plain English, our enemies. There are many definitions of enemy. Here's one of mine. An enemy is the person I don't think loves me. Maybe she does, but it sure doesn't look like it. we tend not to love those who we think don't love us. And of course, in competition with ourselves, who could possibly love us as much as we love ourselves? In one sense, almost everybody is at least a potential enemy. How could anyone measure up to the deep, strong, self-sacrificing and embracing affection we have for me? That we are to love in all the ways that love shows that it loves, with emphasis those who are either evidently or ostensibly not loving us. Saint Stephen was, as the Church called him, proto-martyr. That means more than just the first martyr chronologically. Proto means he is the prototype of what every follower of Christ ought to be. One who is so deeply in love with Jesus that he is willing, more than willing, to die for the one whom he loves. And as we know, the hardest part of dying for Christ is living for him. It's that dying life which is so costly. That's why we should especially today invoke Saint Stephen, asking him to teach us how to love Christ by living a dying life for the one whom we say we love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.